Clyde Pilkington here in the studio of Bible Students Radio, broadcasting today about the good news of the happy God.
Wise man's life filled with such frailty, such endless frustration, futility, constant emptiness, apparent purposelessness, and abundant flaws. Well, it's because he's been subjected so by his Creator. Paul reveals this answer to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Paul says here that we've been subjected to vanity. Well, this being subject is, well, it's like a people are subject to their king. It's being under the power, under the domain of something. And God's made his creation to be subject under the domination, under the dominion of vanity, of frailty, of frustration. And Paul says, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. You know, we didn't sign up for this. Nobody on the planet asked to be here. You didn't ask to be here. I didn't. We didn't ask to be in the condition that we are. It's not the life that we would choose, being broken and flawed. It's God's design. But we need to remember that it has a purpose, a wise purpose, a purpose that when God's finished will cause our hearts to rejoice. And when we understand this, we can even rejoice now. Rejoice in faith that God, who's always loving and always wise and always all-powerful, is carrying out his will in our life, and his will right now in phase one of our existence is frailty, is futility, it's vanity. But we have the confident expectation of phase two, the sequel, and that's when God is going to culminate all his work in us for his glory. Paul says that for now, my strength, talking about God, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. We're not accustomed to thinking of flaws and weakness as a condition of strength. Paul could afford to keep his thorn with its burdening weakness because it made him far more the object of divine strength. Think of flaws and feebleness as a misfortune, and that'll be thinking outside of the revelation of God, because it's not so. Some of God's noblest servants have carried great thorns in their lives for all their lives. All of us have some thorn in our flesh. We should never forget that in one sense, our thorn is a messenger of Satan to buffet us, as Paul said. And he desires to hurt our life, to mar our peace, you know, destroy God's purpose and plan in our lives. But on the other hand, however, he's God's servant. And God has a loving design for the thorn that we endure. He means it to soften our hearts and to make us gentle. He does it to make us heavenly minded, to keep our hearts loving and sweet in the middle of harshness and unkindness. The value of frailty is that it nourishes dependence on our Father. When we're strong, or apparently we think we are, we see ourselves as strong. And then, when we see ourselves as weak, we sense our need of him and cease to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the faithful Creator. When we're consciously weak, knowing that we're unequal to the duties and the struggles and the difficulties of life, then we're strong because God, in his strength, is who we look to. Too many people with their weaknesses, they see them as a barrier to their usefulness to God. They make excuse for doing little with their life this way. Instead of this, however, God is transforming our weaknesses into His strength. He says His strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul had to learn this. And when he did, then he gloried in his weakness, because the strength of Christ rested upon him, so that when he was weak, then he was strong, strong with divine strength. The people who've done the greatest good in the world, you know, who have left the deepest impact on people, had the most abiding impressions upon the lives of others, they've not been those that the world would call strong. Much of the world's best work has been done by the weak, those with broken lives. Successful men, well, they pile up fortunes, establish large enterprises, win the applause of the world. But the real influence, meaning and lasting enriching of other lives, taught men the lessons of love, sweetens the joy of life. They come largely from those who are weak, not those who are strong. Weakness in itself is a burden, and it can be a chain in our lives, but only if we're looking to ourselves. And if we try to carry those burdens alone, we'll only fail. But if we lay it on the strong shoulders of the Son of God and let Him carry us and our burdens, then quietly and firmly in all the duties of life, He will make our weaknesses the secret source of our strength. He won't take our weaknesses from us. That's not His promise. But He will fill us with His own power so that we are more than conquerors. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. The choicest vessels of God's greatest truths have always been those who have been most flawed. The grace of Christ can take the most unloving life and change it into beauty. Limitations, if we rightly see them, can only make our lives more valuable. Take, for instance, the strings of a musical instrument. You know why they're so musical? Well, it's because they're tied at both ends and must vibrate within the limitations of those restraints. If you cut those strings loose, they'll fly and it won't give any musical sound. The sound depends upon its limitation, its stress. And so it is with us. We become capable of giving our sweetest notes only when we're under restraint. The very hardness in our condition is what God uses in His great power to bring out the character of His own nature in us. Paul speaks of himself in one place as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. His life could not be crushed, his joy could not be quenched, his songs could not be hushed. We must meet trials in some form or another, all of us, but we don't have to be overwhelmed by them. We should accept our troubles and trials and frailty, our humanity, however it comes, as coming from God's sweet will to us and for us and for our good, and bringing some new revelation of His divine love to us. Tears leave the soil of our hearts more fertile. The experience of sorrows teach us many lessons. We are wiser afterwards, more thoughtful, better fitted to guide and help others, prepared to be a comfort to those who must suffer similar vanities and frailties as we. Even the things which seem to be failures and defeats in our lives, through the love and grace of our Father, will prove in the end to be successes and victories. Many a good man fails in a worldly sense, and yet in the spiritual realm, he's more than a conqueror. Currently, we're in the bondage to frailty. So, your burdens are heavy. Your heart is breaking. Your strength is weak. Crawl into the arms of your loving Father and find rest and strength. Now, a little music for your edification and enjoyment. Here's the Isaac singing a wonderful song, Carry Me.
Step by step, I stumble through the damsel. Blinded by the sun, how can I stay? Just a drop of cool, refreshing water. I need a touch from you, Lord, take my hand. Carry me across the desert. Hold your hurting child to your breast. Dry these tears that fill my eyes forever. Carry me up to my home. Safe.